Today is February 28th, not the last day of February. Yod Tet Adar, Parshat Kitisa. Kitisa, it's hard to choose what to speak about. There's always so much, but I...
My parsha.
Oh, very nice. Right. Yeah. So one thing that I was inspired to research, and if you noticed on the email, I called the shiur, Where is Mordechai in the Torah? So he actually appears kind of, sort of, this week. So I want to give you a little overview of the beginning of the parasha, which we don't spend a lot of time talking about usually because there's so many interesting things in the middle of the parasha with the golden calf and the Yud Gemal Midos of Hashem and the Luchot, the second Luchot, all those things. But the beginning of the parasha, first I included, just for reference, because we're going to, this is going to be quoted, the end of last week's parsha, which we spoke about last week, which was the incense altar. So, and it says there, "Ketoret tamid lifnei Hashem l'dorotechem," a continual incense before the Lord of your generations. Now, if you're paying attention, you will see that we're going to the next parsha, but it's the same perek, the same chapter. So this is all in chapter 30 of Shemot, perek lamed. And as you've heard me say several times, the chapter divisions were made by the Christians, by the Catholic Church, and we are grateful to them for allowing us to find chapter and verse easily. I don't know how we would do it. We'd all have to be a lot more literate if we didn't have that reference, but sometimes they don't agree with the Torah white space divisions. So this is one of those times where it's all in the same chapter. So next, this is the beginning of Parsha Kitisa. It speaks about the census. And how is the census done? And we read this again in a couple weeks as a maftir for Shavuot Shekalim. The census is done with a half of a shekel, a chatzi shekel. So that's going to be important to know for reference, that that's how the parsha starts off. And then after that, you see we're skipping from Pasuk Yud Gimel to Kaf Bet. Then we have the mitzvah to make the Shemen Mishchat Kodesh, the holy anointing oil. There's a little confusion we're going to see in some of the sources, because right after the Shemen Mishchat Kodesh, the anointing oil, we have the Ketoret, the recipe for the Ketoret. So we have two recipes essentially here, both of which take spices, which is what makes it confusing. So these are the spices in the anointing oil, and that was used for the Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim. It would be used for the future kings. It was used for all of the vessels and everything that went into the Mishkan and later the Beit HaMikdash. And one of the ingredients is, the first ingredient, in fact, is mar dror. Okay? And you take 500 shekel weights of that mar dror. And then one of the ingredients that's going to come out in the ketoret, the incense, one of the spices, is chalbana, which is galbanum. Okay, so those are all the reference points for the psukim we're going to be speaking about. And we're going to start. So the first thing we're going to look at is Targum Onklis. And he translates mar dror, this spice that went into the anointing oil. And he tells us it is Mira Dekaya. Okay? Now, that probably sounds really random right now, but you will soon find out the significance of this Aramaic translation of Mar Dror, Mira Dekaya. Then, we're going to look at this Rashi from this week's Parsha on this spice that's in the incense, the Chalbana. So it says, En Galbanam, a spice with a vile odor called Galbane in Old French. The scripture counted it among the ingredients of the incense to teach us that we should not look askance at including Jewish transgressors with us when we assemble for fasting or prayer. They should be counted with us. This is a really beautiful Rashi, that just as we have a stinky, smelly spice in the incense, so too should we include stinky, smelly people in our davening, both literally and metaphorically, I guess. And that they should be included. And this is something that we really take seriously on Yom Kippur. when we invite everyone to come together to daven to ask for forgiveness all as one community. Okay, so now, what is the significance of this Mira, this Aramaic translation of Mara Dvoras, Mira Dekaya? There's a couple Gemaras that address it. So the first one we're going to look at is in Masechet Megillah. So Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmi introduced this passage with an introduction from here. This is a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Instead of the thorn shall the cypress come up, and instead of the nettle shall the myrtle come up. So the word for cypress is brosh. Okay, and now I just want to remind you, rosh, marjor, the head. So even though brosh means cypress tree, it doesn't have an aleph in it. It has nothing to do with the head or the first, like here. We're going to see the play on words. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, and shall not be cut off. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani interpreted the verse homiletically as referring to the righteous individuals who superseded the wicked ones in the Book of Esther. Instead of the thorn, this means instead of the wicked Haman. He is referred to as a thorn because he turned himself into an object of idol worship, as he decreed that all must prostrate themselves before him. The Gemara cites proof that the term thorn is used in connection with idol worship, as it is written, and upon all thorns, and upon all brambles, another pasuk in Yeshayahu, which is understood to be a reference to idol worship. The next section of the verse discusses what will replace the thorns, i.e. Haman. Haman is the thorns. Shall the cypress, brosh, come up? This is Mordechai. Why is he called a cypress, a brosh? Because he was called Berosh Mar Dror. Take you also to yourself the chief spices of pure myrrh. That's how they're translating mar is myrrh. Dror usually means freedom. We're going to see that the significance of that as well, but they're translating that as pure myrrh. So, rosh mar dror. That is berosh, the cypress, and the, and the chief of all spices, and that represents Mordechai. The verse continues, and instead of the nettle, Sirpad, this means instead of the wicked Vashti, why is she called a nettle? Because she was the daughter of the son of the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, who burned the ceiling, Saraf, of course the P and the F are the same letters, Refidat, of the house of God. As it is written, it's tap Refidato of gold, from Shir Shirim, which is all a reference to the, a metaphorical reference to the Mishkan. The next section of the verse states, shall the myrtle hadas come up? You guys probably could have all figured that one out by yourself. This is the righteous Esther, who is called Hadassah in the Megillah, as it is stated, and he had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther. The concluding section of the verse states, and it shall be to the Lord for a name. This is the reading of the Megillah, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. These are the days of Purim. So we're reading into this pasuk in Yeshayahu all of the characters and events of the Purim story, including Mordechai, which is referenced in our pasuk of Mar Dror. And Mira Dekaya, which if you say it Mira Dekaya, you can hear Mordechai in there. Okay, and now we have another Gemara, perhaps more famous than that one, that does the same thing in a really interesting way. So they asked Rav Matana, from where in the Torah is Moshe? And they quote a pasuk from the very end of Parshat Bereshit, right before Parshat Noach, for that he also, Bishagam, is flesh. Bishagam hu basar. Therefore shall his days be 120 years. So this is Hashem's decision when he sees the evilness of man before bringing on the flood, that he's going to limit the lifespan of humanity to 120 years. The numerical value of Bishagam is the same as that of the Hebrew name Moshe. And it is known that Moshe lived a total of 120 years. So this is a cryptic reference to Moshe in the word Bishagam. We're going to see more elaborations on that later. From where then, so that's the answer to where we find Moshe, which is a very interesting question to begin with, because Moshe, of course, is in the entire Torah, except for Bereshit. And here we're saying, where else is he? Where can we find him in Bereshit? So in this pasuk. Then we ask, from where in the Torah is Haman? Perhaps even weirder, since Haman is not in the Torah at all. But the Gemara tells us, Hamin ha'etz, which means from the tree have you eaten, about which I commanded you that you should not eat. Of course, this is in Gan Eden, and it's Etz Hada'at Tov V'ra, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hamin, which is a question from the, from, it's a from with a question mark, is spelled in the same manner as Haman. It's the same letters. He, Mem, Nun. Next question, from where in the Torah is Esther? Then my anger shall be kindled against them on that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall come upon them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because God is not among us? And I will hide my face on that day. Hester astir. That's how God says, I will surely hide my face. For all the evil which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned to other gods. From Devarim. This is almost the very end of Devarim, that God's telling us there's going to be a time when you will not see my revealed presence in the world. And that represents Esther. They also asked him, from where in the Torah can one find an allusion to the greatness bestowed upon Mordechai? So that is, I put in italics because that's what Rashi's asking, Menayan, from where? L'gedulat Mordechai, for the greatness of Mordechai. So we're not just asking where is, according to Rashi, where is Mordechai in the Torah? We're asking how can we infer from the Torah Mordechai's greatness? He replied, as it is written with regard to the anointing oil in the tabernacle, and you shall also take the chief spices, so that was Rosh, of flowing myrrh, mardror. And we translate into the Aramaic, Mira Dekaya, which represents the name Mordechai, so just like we saw. And then Rashi also in the Gemara says mardror, Bikari le Rosh lebasamim. So we call this mardror, this pure myrrh, the head of all the spices, litzadikim ve'anshei knesset hagadola. And this refers to all the righteous people and the men of the great assembly. So they're going on this theme of mardror being Mordechai and all the other tzaddikim and members of the great assembly from that time. Okay, so now we're going to analyze that Gemara. And this is from the Chidushei Agadot, which is the Maharal, where the Maharal focuses on the Agadata parts of the Gemara, not the halachic parts, but the agadic parts. There's only him, and we're going to see later the Marasha. Those are the only two commentators in the Gemara from that time period who really spend time on the legend aspect as opposed to the law aspect. So he says something very deep. Haman min haTorah menayin. Where do we find Haman in the Torah? Gamze davar muflag ve'amuk ma'od. He says this is a very deep manner. Vezeki Haman hum yizera Amalek. So he's connecting Haman to the seed of Amalek. Shekocho Samael harasha. And his strength is this wicked angel. I don't know a lot about angels, but Samael is not a good guy. She'arochev al hanachash. He would ride on the snake, and we're talking about the primordial snake, umesit et isha lechol min etz hadat, and he tricked the woman into eating from the tree of knowledge. Vehevi hamita leolam, and he brought death to the world. Vekachaya Haman rotzel lehavi eder umita liYisrael. Haman wanted to disappear and bring death to Israel. Shehem bifrat nikru adam, and Israel is also called Adam. I looked this up. It's in several midrashim where we say that we, the children of Israel, are referred to as Adam. So when the snake is bringing death to the world by tricking Chava and Adam to eat from the tree, Haman is trying to bring death to the Jewish people. And that's a parallel of the snake and Adam and Haman and the Jewish people. Esther min haTorah minayin. Where do we find Esther in the Torah? Biur Devaze, the explanation of this, ki haktuv shamar vanochi haster astir. So the pasuk that says, I will surely hide, halashon mora al tsara hagdola. This points to some great tsuras, strife. Ki hayu Yisrael begalut kodem. Because Israel had already been in galut. It's interesting it's that we're reading this pasuk in Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph of God hiding his face, to refer to the time of Esther, because Aster, Aster. When actually, yes, Esther was Galut, but there were other exiles before that. There was, of course, the exile of Babylonia. So why are we skipping that Galut, which was very stressful and a terrible time, and going to Mordechai and Esther that we're saying that that's what it refers to? Ve'achar kach higia lehem tzara al tzara hu Haman. So because there was strife with the exile of Babylon, but then it was strife upon strife, which was Haman. V'zehu v'anochi hester hester. And that's what it means, I will surely hide. Dehainu hester betoch hester, which is a hiddenness within hiddenness. God was even more hidden. Of course, in the exile to Babylonia, we had Yechezkel, the Navi, the prophet, waiting for us in Babylonia and offering us comforting words about when the end would be. In Persia, in the time of Achashverosh, Hashem's name is never even mentioned in the Megillah, and it was hidden within the hidden. And therefore, in the entire Megillah, we don't see Hashem's name mentioned explicitly. Because Hashem was not revealed in this redemption, which is so interesting to think about, that we didn't actually see Hashem. Because even after the redemption, they were still in exile. Fascinating, right? Did you ever consider this? That there was a redemption in the Purim story, for sure, but that redemption did not involve us going back to Eretz Yisrael. That only came later with Koresh, with Cyrus. Well, actually, I shouldn't have said that. Cyrus might have been before the Purim story, and then it might have been her son, according to Midrash, Daryavish, who allowed for the rebuilding of the temple that made it the continuation, the completion of the second temple that made it less of a galut, of an exile. Ve'echiyah Hashem niskar b'megillah. And how could Hashem's name have been mentioned in the Megillah? L'chach nikret Esther. And that's why she's called Esther. Ki al yada hayta hagyola, because it was through her that the redemption came. Shehu behester panim. But this redemption was through God still hiding his face. Ve'dvar zah bevaday ma'aleh yetera. She'af shayu Yisrael behester panim, ga'alam Hashem yitbrach ayidei Esther. I find this line very comforting for the time we're going through now. This is, of course, an extra level that even though there was this period of God hiding his face from us, God still redeemed us by way of Esther. Mordechai min ha-Torah menayin. Where is Mordechai in the Torah? Perush ki Mordechai hefech Haman. So Mordechai is the opposite of Haman. Just as Haman wanted to completely wipe out, God forbid, Israel, and it was for this reason he's called Haman, because his strength came from the tree of knowledge, because through it the death came to man. And if you remember, Hamin Ha'etz is where we found Haman in the Torah. Is it from the tree? Kachaya hefech ze Mordechai. So to the opposite was Mordechai. Sheya otzer hamita shel lo tavo lolam. That he stopped death, that it wouldn't come to the world. He saved all the Jewish people. V'lechach nikra Mordechai milashon mar dror. And therefore Mordechai is called this spice, this pure myrrh. Shehu habosam harishon shenaktan viktorat. And here, I am not going to claim to know more than the Maharal. That would be the most ridiculous claim in the world. But you can see where it gets confusing. And I'm sure I'm missing something in terms of the Maharal's depth in this explanation. But as I showed you before, the Mar Dror was part of the anointing oil. So he's kind of putting it all together of what came after it, which was the incense, the Ketoret. And he's saying it was the first spice that was given in the incense. And the incense, as you might know, after the plague with the Midianite woman and the Moabite woman who tried to seduce... No. Different plague. Sorry. A plague where Aaron took the incense and stopped the plague. So the incense is one that... Otser hamagifa, shenigzar be'olam, nigzara be'olam. It stops the plague that was decreed in the world. V'lechach amar Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin. And therefore, it asks the question, where is Mordechai in the Torah? The Ramaz Muflahu, and it's a wondrous hint. I don't know what he's referring to there either. But this is how the Maharal explains all those references and how they relate to the Purim story. Now, by way of introduction to the next few sources, and I did not know this until I was preparing this shiur, so I think you might all be as shocked as I was. This is from Mishnah Masechet Shekalim. So, very interesting, Masechet Shekalim. As you saw, this week's parsha opens with the Chatzi Shekel. And this is the Mishnah dealing with shekelim. So it tells us these are the officials who served in the temple. Petachia. Anybody heard that name before? Petachia? Okay. Was responsible for the pairs of birds, the turtle doves or pigeons brought by Azava, big part of my Yoetza training, a woman after childbirth, and a leper. Petachia is Mordechai. So who knew? We knew Esther. We already saw that Esther was Hadassah, right? Hadass. And that's her Hebrew name, we've always understood. And Esther was a Persian name, which sounds suspiciously like Ishtar, one of the goddesses. And if you ever learned anything academic about the Megillah, then you know that Mordechai, and even some of the sources here bring this up, sounds suspiciously like Marduk, who was one of the Persian gods. So who knew that Mordechai had a Hebrew name? And it was Petachia. And then we ask the question, why was he called Petachia? You can hear Petach, Liftoach in there. The reason is that he would open, elucidate difficult topics and interpret them to the people, and because he knew all 70 languages known at the time. So Mordechai had a Hebrew name, Petachia. Okay, so now the Marasha, who I think is a little later than the Maharal. I didn't include any biographies here, sorry. So he's commenting on the same Gemara that the Maharal did. Moshe mina Torah minayin. V'chulei Haman mina Torah, Esther, chulei Mordechai. So he mentions all four of them. Yereb ez el lefi shebe'elu ha'arba. So we'll see that with these four, matzinu sheyesh lahem od shmot acherim. They all have additional names. B'moshe, so what was Moshe's additional name? Tuvia is one of his names. And the rabbis derive that from when Yocheb, when he was born, Vatera ki tovhu, and Yocheved saw that he was good. So the rabbis say that Yocheved actually named him Tuvia. Avigdor is another name. We say that Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 names. Behaman amru shehu mimuchan. With Haman, we say that he was mimuchan, who's one of the king's servants in the first parak of Megillat Esther in Ahasuerus's palace. Esther hi Hadassa. Mordechai balshan Petachia. So Mordechai was Petachia, as we just learned. So according to how it seems, somebody could actually make a complaint. Vilomar she'ele shmot hamiuchadim lahem, that these were their unique names. Einam ikar min haTorah, they can't be found in the Torah. Ki she'em Moshe bat Paro nitna la, because where does the name Moshe come from? The daughter of Paro named her that. V'hu lashon mitzri, and it's Egyptian. How can you say it's part of the Torah? Kedat mefarshim, like there is actually, I think it's Ibn Ezra is the one who says that Moshe is Egyptian, and it does sound suspiciously like my stepfather-in-law studied Egyptian. And so Ramses, which is a common pharaoh name, so if you listen carefully, Ra is a sun god, Mises, Moses, Moshe, so it means like son of the sun god. So it's Egyptian according to some opinions. We, of course, say it comes from Min Hamayim Mishi Tihu, from the waters I drew him. And we say it's Hebrew, which is the majority opinion, but there are those who say it is Egyptian. V'shem Haman u'Mordechai v'Esther, nira ki shmot Parsiim. Haman, Mordechai, and Esther are all Persians' names. Ki b'Megillah nichtava yidei Parsiim. Because the Megillah was written in Persian. I've said this in other shirim, but it's interesting to note that throughout the entire Megillah, Mordechai and Esther never speak to each other directly. It's always through a messenger. So by definition, the entire Sefer Megillah was transferred, events were translated into Hebrew from the Persian. Shalken luhus kar shem hakadosh baruch hu b'Megillah. And that's why God's name is not in the Megillah. Kedat harava. He's quoting the Ibn Ezra. He goes into a very long explanation about Moshe, which is actually, just to summarize it, so Moshe is an active drawing. If he were really named from the act of having been drawn, passive, his name would be Nimshe or Mashui. But instead it's Moshe, and based on a pasuk in Tehillim, you can read it in English here, it's because Moshe brought us out of the water with the splitting of the sea. He led us through that. So he actively brought us out of the water. So that was cute, but it was very long, so I'm going to skip it. And we're focused more on the Megillah right now. Amar Haman min haTorah minayin, and in the same way they ask the question, where is Haman in the Torah? Shezehu shem hamiyuchad lo, that this is his unique name. Ve'amar hamin ha'etz, And so it says in the Torah, from the tree, ? B'maaseh ha-nachash, with the incident of the snake. V'hu lefi shehayahu geza tzifoni me'esav. So the snake, like we said before, is Amalek. And Amalek comes from Esav. So he's saying that this somehow is attributed to Esav, at the snake. V'amalek asher kocham nachash hakadmoni. And Amalek derives its strength from the primordial snake. U'b'midrash, and in the Midrash we see Haman v'hanachash patchu be'af. Both Haman and the Nachash use this word af, which means even. So the snake says to Chava, even though God said not to eat from the tree. Af, I forgot what it is in Hebrew, but it has the word af. And Haman also uses this word af. So we're relating them based on their linguistic usage. V'shneam natnu einehem b'ma she'eino ra'ui lehem. And they both put their eyes on what was not worthy of them. K'di'ita berkama desota, like we learn in the Gemara. V'mar Esther mina Torah minayin, and we say, where is Esther in the Torah? Shehu ikar shma, that this is her main name. V'amar v'anochi hester astir. And again, like we saw before, I will surely hide. Hashem shebiyameha nitkayam mikra zeh. During her days, this pasuk was fulfilled. Shamar Kodesh Baruch Hu astir lefi sherachku v'histir Yisrael atzmam midibor anochi. Why did God hide his face then? Because he said, I will hide, since they distanced and they, Israel, hid themselves from the Ten Commandments. Anochi, I am the Lord your God. Shehu ikar emuna, which is the foundation of faith, as we said in the Gemara. Lama nitkhaivu soneihem shel Yisrael kliya. And this is a euphemistic way of saying, why did they want to put Israel to death? Lefi shehishachavu letzalem. Because they bowed, meaning, why was Israel liable for death by God? Why was this decree ever made? Why did God allow it? And it was because we bowed to an idol. V'ne'anu misu'udat ha-chashverosh. And because we enjoyed at the festive meal of ha-chashverosh. V'alzeh amar Mordechai min ha-Torah minayin. And it's on this that we ask the question, where is Mordechai in the Torah? Shal yadav, because by way of him, zachu lehinatzel v'le'asot b'nei chorvin. They merited to be saved and to be made free men. Milashon mar dror, from this language of the pure mur, the mar is the mur, but dror means freedom. It's actually on the Liberty Bell, proclaim freedom through the land. I did a whole class on that a few years ago, Parashat Emor. That's the Hebrew of the pasuk. Vayikra dror means freedom. So we became free through Mordechai. Kihu v'sayato anshei knesset ha-gadola, because he and those who helped him, which were the men of the Great Assembly, who we said the Barosh was, that greatness, that first, lo ratzu lishtal chavot letzalem, they refused to bow down to the idol, v'lo lehanot me'ota seuda, and they also refused to enjoy from that meal, v'al shem shehu rosh l'gdula, and since he was first in greatness, u'l'shem tov, and for a good name, nimsha l'rosh v'samim, he is compared to the head of the spices, Mishemen Hamishcha, from the anointing spices. So here the Marasha says it, that's the anointing spices. We saw before the Maharal said it was the incense. Okay, and on this same note, the Yarot Devash, which is Rabbi Eibshitz, he says, Gam Amru Ma Moshe Masar Nafsho Bishvil Yisrael. So they also said, just as Moshe was willing to give up his life for Israel, Af Mordechai, so too Mordechai was willing. And that's from Esther Rabbah. There's a midrash on why was he called an Ish Yehudi, a Judean man. So we usually think of Yehudi as Jewish, but really it meant from the tribe of Judah, when we know that Mordechai came from Binyamin. And it's because he was willing to give up his life for the Jewish people, who at that time the majority were Judean. And this is because Moshe said in this week's Parsha, but not in the part that I quoted because it's in the part after the golden calf, Moshe says, erase me from your book, Bishvil Yisrael, for the sake of Israel. Moshe says to God, if you forgive them, fine, but if you don't forgive them, erase me now from your book. Macheni na misifrecha. V'nitkayem. And this was upheld. Even though God did not destroy the Jewish people, they lived, Moshe was still erased. How so? So I gave a whole shiur I think a couple years back on Tetzaveh, that Moshe's name does not appear at all in Parshat Tetzaveh, and that's where his name got erased. But this was really a brilliant explanation, I think. Ki shmo amiti shekaru lo aviv imo v'kadosh baruch hu lo nizkar v'torah. How is Moshe erased from the book? Because he's not called the name that his father and his mother called him. Tuvia, or maybe Tuv. And it says God also. Lo nizkar v'torah, that name is never mentioned. It's only hinted at. V'tera ki tovu. She saw that he was good. Rak Shem Moshe. The only name he has ever called in the entire Torah is Moshe. Shem Mitzri, an Egyptian name. Shekara lo Batya al Shem Hamura. That Batya called him by way of the event in which she found him. V'chein Mordechai Shmo Amiti Haya Petachya. And then he makes this direct connection that Mordechai's real name was Petachya. V'lo Nizkar Rak Mordechai. But he's only called Mordechai. Shehu Rak Tor al Besamim Rosh Mardekaya, which is only a description of spices of the head of the pure myrrh, kid mivuar b'gemara, as explained in the Gemara, ki macheshmo b'shvito b'shvil Yisrael. His Hebrew name was erased from the Megillah for the sake of Israel. So it's a really interesting comparison of the similarities between Mordechai and Moshe and their non-Hebrew names. Okay, now this is Daf al Hadaf, which is a, I think, pretty sure 20th century explanation of the Gemara, and it gives some, he quotes other interesting insights from other people, and I actually found some of the original sources that he quotes here, but I liked his little summaries better, so we're going to read it from there. If you're interested, I included some of the original ones at the end of the source sheet. Okay, so this is our Gemara. Ketiv k'tora tamid lifnei Hashem l'dor atzcham. So this, if you remember, was the first in the first group of psukim from the end of last week's parsha, Tetzaveh, about the incense altar, where it says, "K'torah tamid lifnei Hashem l'dorotechem," the eternal incense before God for the generations. V'ulayze haremez l'Mordechai. Maybe this is hinting to Mordechai. She'omer ta gemara kan she'Mordechai min ha'tor menayin. That the Gemara here says, "Where is Mordechai in the Torah?" Dichtiv mar dvor. Umetargaminan mira dekaya. It's written Mardor, and we translate that mira dekaya. Shezeh haya min bosem kamo haktoret, because this was a type of spice like the incense. Now look what he says in the parentheses. Afal pi shemardor haya bishvil shemen hamishcha, even though this spice, the pure myrrh, was for the anointing oil. So he again is telling us that he's putting it in the incense, even though it's part of the anointing oil. So you see that it's very confusing. Ulai hiktaita tamid ledoratam techem. Maybe this phrase that it should be for the generations. Hu remez al schirat Mordechai hatzadik. This is a hint of the mention of Mordechai the righteous one. Ukedeita b'gemara she Esther biksha, and as it's written in the Gemara that Esther requested katvuni ledorot, write about me for the generations. Hahifuch shel parshat Zachor, which is the opposite of Zachor, shezeh zichirat haman harasha. We read Zachor right before Purim, Shabbos before Purim, where it's mentioning haman harasha, the opposite. So Esther is to be written for the generations and Mordechai, but Haman is supposed to be erased like Amalek, because he's part of Amalek. Okay, again on that same thing. So this is the Yarot Devash, which we quoted him before, but this is a different Yarot Devash, Rav Eipshitz. Miva'er shemekivan she'amar Mordechai lech knos kol hayodim. It seems that since Mordechai said, go and collect, gather, bring together all of the Jews, lechaber yachad gam elu shepashu v'nenu misudat Achashverosh. So when Mordechai says, actually it's Esther who says it, go and bring together all the Jews, he was uniting also those who sinned and enjoyed from the meal at Achashverosh. Remember, we had that spice in the incense that smells terrible. Maksheh Gemara. This was difficult for the Gemara. Minayin lo leMordechai lechaber tzadikim v'rasheim yachad b'tzfilah v'tanit. So where did Mordechai have the right to unite righteous people and wicked people together in prayer and fasting? U'meshane mardvor, and we learn this pure myrrh. Michel benah shebeketoret, from the galbein that's in the incense. Shelo hayalo reach tov, which would did not have a good smell. Umimena lamdu chazal שיש לצרף רשאים עם צדיקים באגודה אחת בתענית שלהם. And from this bad smelling spice, we learn, Chadal, our rabbis teach us, that we need to join the wicked with the righteous in one bundle at their fasts. Okay, so that's from the Yarot Tavash. Now he quotes the Chatam Sofer, which we quote a lot. It's his commentary is called Torah Moshe, and it's at the end of the thing. Mever de berosh brachot katav shehamor hu dam sheyotze michaya tmea. So the Rosh, the commentary in Brachot, writes that what is mor or myrrh? This is blood that comes from an impure wild beast. Benefach ledavar acher, but it changes into something else. Umemela mutar beachila, and therefore it is permitted to eat. This is for the opinions that say that gelatin, which sometimes comes from pig sweat, that it might actually be kosher because it turns into a new thing. If I didn't look at the whole halachic analysis, but I'm just giving you an example of something else. And you can go look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham if you want to. Kamolchein, Shimi ben Gera, if you remember from our years of learning Sefer Shmuel, so Shimi ben Gera, Shekilel et David, Bebarchov mipnei Avshalom beno. He's the one that cursed David. He comes from the Shevet of Binyamin. When David was escaping from his son Avshalom, who was leading a rebellion against him, Mordechai Sheya Mitzatzaav Tikenotor. Mordechai was a descendant of Shimi ben Gera. And I think we even learned some sources there that said, why didn't David put Shimi ben Gera to death? Because he had some insight that there would be a great descendant who would save the Jewish people from him. So Mordechai came to fix Shimi. Vizel Mordechai, Mari Dechaya. Mordechai is this Mari Dechaya. Shetiken et Shimi ben Gera. He fixed Shimi ben Gera. Chamesh Ma'ot. 500. Anybody remember the reference to 500? So in the Psukim, there is 500 shekel weights of this mar dror, this spice. So then he goes on to say, Mordechai haya 500 shana acharei Shimi. And then he says that Mordechai was 500 years after Shimi. And you can go look directly in the Torah Moshe to see how he makes this mathematical 500 years. So that's the connection there. And then he quotes the Sefer Yalkut Divrei Asaf, which I've never heard of. I don't know what it is. Katav shehachayrut amiti hu kablat ol malchut shamayim. What is true freedom? It's taking on the kingship of heaven. Ukmo shekatuv, and like it's written in Pirkei Avot, ein lecha ben chorin elamisha osek b'Torah. Who, nobody is free unless he is busy with Torah. Ramban katav de mardror hu hadam shemotziin me'ezachaya. Ramban says that mardror is not pure myrrh, but rather some kind of blood that comes out of this unclean wild animal. V'dror hu milashon chofesh, and dror is from the language of freedom. This spice will not be successful unless you take it out of that wild animal when it is walking around free, and not when it's been taken captive. And this is all hinting with by way of Mordechai. Mordechai was not terrified and not afraid of Haman. And again, I think this is a really inspiring line for what we're living through today. V'lo kam v'lo za mimenu. He didn't get up and he didn't move from him. Zehu hacherut v'hadror ha'amiti. This is true freedom. And again, the other word for freedom. V'lechein Mordechai. And that's why he's called Mordechai. Mar dechi. Mar dror. Mar here, instead of translating it as myrrh, we're going to translate it as the master of freedom. Okay, so now we're moving into a commentary on our pasuk from the Parsha. So Shmot Perek Lamed, pasuk Chaf Gimel, where we mention Mar Dror. And he quotes the small print is the Gemara, and also the Maharashi, and also the Maharal. So all the things that we've already learned. So we're not going to repeat that. ויתכן לפרש גם כן ראש לבשמים לצדיקים, כמו שפירש רשי שם. So we can also explain Rosh Lebesamim from our Pasuk, the head of all the spices, that those are the tzaddikim, like Rashi explains there. Mipnei she-tzaddikim nikraim besamim, because righteous people are called spices. Ulai she-mizakim et harabim she-tovatam mitpashetet al kol svivotehem. I like this explanation. Maybe because they provide merit to the masses, because their goodness, when you have such a good person like a tzaddik, their goodness spreads out on all of their surroundings. Kamo besamim, just like spices, asher reichan hatov mitpashet al kol hasaviv lahem, where their good smell spreads out on all of its surroundings. Ukmo shemirumaz be yud al simanei haktaret, and like this is hinted at with the 11 different signs of the incense, shem Mordechai, that it's the name of Mordechai, she'al yado hayadror na'asu Yisrael b'nei chorvin. Israel became free by way of him. Ken miromaz gam shem Haman. And this is also hinting at the name Haman, asher hiv ish rechan shel Yisrael, who made Israel stinky bifnei Achashverosh, before Achashverosh ufifnei ha'am, and before the nation. Ki chalbana, and now he goes to the stinky spice, sherechov ra begematria Haman. So chalbana has the same gematria numerical value as the name Haman. Shehu mispar tzadikei, kein chalbana b'gematria tzadikei. Both of these words add up to 95. And he heard that from a tzadik Zeinenfeld. Okay, now we have the Shla, the Shlein Luchot Habrit, who we also learned last week. He quotes the Gemara that we have been focused on. And then he says, Yadua ki ra'a ra'inu tikkun elu hachetayim b'moshe rabbeinu olav hashalom. So he's talking about how Moshe is a fix for our sins. Tikkun avon avodah zarah b'maase egel. He fixes the sin of idolatry with the golden calf. How did he fix it? In our parsha again, she'amad neged shishim rabo miYisrael v'dan otam. He stood in front of 600,000 of Israel and he judged them. V'chein inyan ha'achila, and also the matter of eating. Arbim yom v'arbim laila lechem lo achal. When Moshe was up on the mountain with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't eat anything. Peresh et atzmo afilo min hamutar. He separated himself even from that which was permitted to him. V'hine im yomer haomer. And behold, if somebody were to say, Davka Moshe shaya kocho gadol. Of course Moshe could do it. He had great strength. Asher lo kam kemoshe. We even say there was nobody else like Moshe. Yechol la'asot et kazeh. He could do this. Aval inish da'alma. But a general person, hamisubach bebasar vechomer, who's involved in flesh and material, hagas, lo, he could not do it. Alza amar sharamaz inyan Moshe b'shagam hu basar. That's why we say that. Where do we find Moshe in the Torah? B'shagam hu basar, that he too is also flesh. Ratzalomar afal pi shemishu basar dehainu chumri yachol lasot kein im yaratza. What that is to say, where we find Moshe in the Torah, that even though somebody is flesh, which is material, he also can be like Moshe if he wants. Liot yamav kuf kaf ke kuf kaf shel Moshe. That his 120 years should be like the 120 years of Moshe Rabbeinu, alav shalom. Shamad bahar shalosh pamim arba'im yom dehainu kuf kaf yom. Who stood on the mountain three times each for 40 days, and that equals 120 days. Asher peresh etzmo afilo min hamutar, where he separated himself even from what was permitted. Beremez Haman, shemeremez b'Torah, and in the hint of Haman, of where he's hinted at in the Torah, nirmaz chet ha'achila shehevi ha'gezera le'olam aidei achila bimei Adam harishon. This hints to the sin of eating, that the decree was brought to the world of death, I think, by way of eating in the time of Adam harishon. Kisha'achal min ha'etz, when he ate from the tree. V'cheni rabi mei Haman. So too was there this sin of eating in the days of Haman. Bishvil chet achila shenanu misudato shel Achashverosh. The sin of eating when they enjoyed the festive meal with Achashverosh. Afal piken haya hasof nitla al ha'etz v'zehu Haman ha'min ha'etz. And then he makes this crazy comparison that despite the fact that we sinned by the eating, there was a fix for it, and Haman ended up getting hanged on the tree. And he's found in the Torah in the phrase from the tree. Bipasuk v'anochi hester astir, and in the pasuk I will surely hide, shekatuv etzel avon avodazara, which is written with regard to idolatry. That's why Hashem says he will hide, because we will worship idols. Nirmaz sheba avon avodazara yastir panav meham. It's hinted that with the sin of idolatry, he'll hide his face from them. Kamo sheira kan, mipnei chet sheishtachavu letzalem. That also happened in the Purim story, because they bowed down to the idol. V'afal pikein, and despite this, despite that we enjoyed ourselves at the meal of Achashverosh, despite the fact that we ate at the meal and enjoyed ourselves, bata hatshua ayde Esther. The salvation still came by way of Esther. Mordechai min haTorah minayin, where is Mordechai in the Torah? Romez gam kein al inyanza. This also is hinting at this whole matter. Ki parshat v'ata kachava v'samim rosh marjor. So the whole parsha, meaning the section about the anointing oil, katuv le'achar parshat shekelim. It's written after the command to give the half shekel for the census. Okay, so pay attention to this. If you remember, I'll just remind you. So here, in the beginning of this week's parsha, starting with Pasuk Yud Aleph, we have the command to take the sum of the children of Israel according to their numbers. Let each one give to the Lord an atonement for his soul. Remember that? Kofer nafsho. Then there will be no playing among them when they are counted. And this, of course, the opposite happened in the Sefer Shmuel, when David took a census and there was a huge plague because he counted them directly instead of by way of a shekel. This they shall give everyone who goes through the counting half a shekel according to the holy shekel. Okay, so remember that this shekel serves as a kofer nafsho, an atonement for his sin. Okay, back to our Shla. So the anointing oil in Mordechai's name appears right after the command of the chetzi shekel. Uvemesechet Megillah Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Galui ve'adua lifnei mi she'amar ve'haya olam she'atid haman lishkol shekalim. So we read in the Megillah, in Masechet Megillah, Reish Lakish said, is revealed and known in advance to the one who spoke and the world came into being, that in the future Haman was going to weigh out shekels against the Jewish people. It doesn't use the term shekel, it uses the term kesef in the Megillah. Therefore, he arranged that the Jewish people's shekels that were given to the temple preceded Haman's shekels. Okay? You see that in the Torah, it was a kofar of our soul. It was an atonement of our soul. And we gave the shekel. And then we mentioned Mordechai. And so when Haman weighs out shekels to try to kill us, we already had atoned for our soul with our shekels, our half shekels in the census that was then continued every year. And we commemorate it on Purim, where we do the mitzvah of the shekel, the chetzi shekel, where we lift it up. Most shuls have a table with it, and you lift it up and you fulfill that mitzvah. Lefichach hikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu shiklehem l'shiklav. And therefore, God preceded their shekels, meaning our shekels, the Jewish people, to his shekels. V'hainu d'tnan, and that's what we learn in a Mishnah, again in the Mishnah of Shekalim, be'chad be'adar mashmi'in al ha-shekalim. On the first of Adar is when we announce your donation of the shekels. So this year, I think we should all try to fulfill that mitzvah of the chetzi shekel with even more kavana on Purim. So we're reading about the shekel this week in the Parsha. We'll read it again in another few weeks for Shabbat Shekalim, which is the first of the four special parshiot before Pesach. And then we'll fulfill the mitzvah on Purim. So when we fulfill this mitzvah, may we remind God that we were a kofer nafsho, atonement for our soul, with this shekel. And now we understand more deeply and more fully, if not still a little bit confusing, where Mordechai is in the Torah and why the Gemara asks where Mordechai is in the Torah. Because I hope that through many of these sources, we see how relevant they are today when we're fighting a new Amalek. And we see how God brought the salvation in the time of Purim through Esther and Mordechai, who were hinted at in the Torah. And please, God, may we see the ultimate salvation soon in our day as well.